people, relationships, attitude, morale. How can we help one another more? How can we do more? How can we do better for our customers as well as our associates?
This is Ozarks Large. I am in the office of Randy Dixon, who's with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, what did we just hear?
That was Sam Walton describing the topics that would be discussed at one of his manager's meetings.
All right, Randy joins us every Monday for a Pryor Center profile. We go into digitized archives that are available at the Pryor Center and through their website. And Sam Walton is today's topic.
And I'm sure everyone knows who Sam Walton was, the founder of Walmart and Sam's Club. He grew his company to be the world's largest by revenue and the biggest private employer. After running a chain of Ben Franklin stores in the 40s and 50s, he opened his first true Walmart on July 2nd, 1962, right up here in Rogers in northwest Arkansas. By 1977, his chain had grown to 190 stores, and you probably heard the expression associates. He did not call his employees, he called them associates. And he loved going to his stores. He hated to be in the office. He liked to travel around, drive his pickup truck, or fly. He was a pilot, and he would drop by the stores to see his associates and chat with them, and I think he called it management by walking around.
Most importantly, I like to get to the stores and thank folks for what they're doing and find out what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. I learn so much more in these stores, like these two here in Hot Springs, than I do sitting up in that office in Bentonville.
That was a cut from Hot Springs, and was that part of a Channel 7 newscast?
Yes. We had followed him to one of the stores. We knew he was coming, and it was whenever he was in Central Arkansas, we would try to catch him whenever possible.
All right, so you said in the late 70s, the chain had grown to 190 stores. Mm-hmm. By the mid-80s, it was nearly 6.5 times that.
Yes, 800 stores. And they still weren't number one, but he was inching up on their biggest competitor.
1985, $6.2 billion is our projection. Of course, that makes us about the second largest retail company in America in the discount industry. And, of course, you know who number one is, Kmart, but we're gaining on it.
Walmart's still around. I guess Kmart is still around in some...
Well, I read yesterday that they're closing all but 16 locations. So they're just hanging on by their fingertips, I think.
All right. So if you were in Arkansas, say a native, and you're of a certain age, you remember seeing this rise. You remember when there were 20 stores or 40 stores, then 800. And then came, you know, the Forbes notification that they considered him the richest man in the country.
Right. For years, from 82 until 88, he was listed as the richest man in the United States. And, well, let's listen to a little of a Steve Barnes report about that.
If he is, in fact, the nation's richest man, it ought to surprise no one. The company he controls owns about 750 stores, and last year they sold about $6.5 billion worth of goods. He doesn't look like a billionaire, whatever a billionaire is supposed to look like, but he knows why God created tiny acorns.
We like those smaller communities, but we're doing well in El Paso and Amarillo and Shreveport, Little Rock, and some of the other larger towns. So we found out we can compete very effectively around Houston, around Little Rock, around Dallas, but we like Gun Barrel City. We like Ash Flat and Lone Oak and Mena and Boonville. Bless them all.
Steve Barnes reporting. I like how it's, if he is the richest man, he doesn't look like a billionaire.
That's right. Yeah, Barnes had a pretty good way with words.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was best known, I think, for a stunt he pulled on Wall Street in 85. Or I guess it was 84. You know what that was?
I don't remember, actually.
He danced the hula.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, he had made a bet that if the company had profits of 8%, had risen 8%, he would do the hula dance on Wall Street, and they did. So he kept his word, donned a Hawaiian shirt and a hula skirt, flew in authentic hula dancers, and stood out front of Merrill Lynch with luau music and danced. It was a huge media event.
When I think, because of course Sam Walton's been dead for a while now, when people think of him now, they tend to think of him as a national figure. Obviously, richest man in America, founded this big company. But in the 1980s, he was still a figure here. He was at the groundbreaking for Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville and things like that.
Yes, he was. And so he was very community-minded and down-to-earth, as rich as the man was. Like I said, he drove a pickup truck, got a, you know, cheap barber haircut. And but he did form a group called the Arkansas Business Council. They actually called it the Good Suit Club. And it had, I mean, the top business people, the top politicians in the state. It had Bill Clinton. It had Don Tyson, Gerald Malden. And at the urging of Hillary Clinton, who was big on education reform at the time, that's what they focused on.
Try to do all that we can to build Arkansas and to develop Arkansas into where we will have as good as or better the best educational system of any of the states in the Sun Belt.
Sam Walton is the subject of this week's Pryor Center Profile with Randy Dixon from the Pryor Center in his office at the Pryor Center. You can't talk about Sam Walton and Walmart without talking about what turned into this annual event of shareholders and associates from around the world descending on Northwest Arkansas.
Have you been to one?
I have.
I have not. I've seen the video, of course. But, yeah, they fill Bud Walton Arena. They bring in all kinds of stars to host it and entertain. And they fly associates in from all over the country because they're worldwide now. And here's one of the early ones.
We've never had a house this full before. And again, this is the largest, I'm sure, the largest stockholders meeting we've ever had, and probably the largest stockholders meeting that the world has ever seen. Woo! And associates, partners, and we've had a partnership going for a long time. I get a lot of credit for a lot of things that our folks do, and I wish the spotlight could be turned on them individually and collectively, because they're the ones that do it for our customers, and they do it every day.
And, of course, those stockholder meetings. Now, they haven't had something like that for a couple of years because of the pandemic. I don't know if they're going to return to it or not. But they became bigger and wilder and louder. And I tell you, Randy, the first time I went to one, the way they brought the press out, you came out through one of the tunnels, and, you know, you emerge into this. And it's, you know, 7:45 in the morning, and it's just bright and loud. It was a little intimidating for me to come out of that atmosphere, and it just, it's high energy, and it never stops.
I guess it woke you up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and fast forward. It's 1992 now, and Mr. Walton is in poor health. He's usually in a wheelchair, and I think then President George H.W. Bush knew of his illness and took a break from the campaign trail and flew to Bentonville to present him with the highest civilian honor, which is
the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yes.
And sir, you are generous and genuine, tireless and tenacious, and you took risks and helped our country grow vigorous and strong. And you brought out the best in people. And you and Helen have honored the important things in life, friendship, faith, and family. And at a time when young Americans look for role models, those are noble virtues. And your life is going to help them appreciate that ours is the freest, most blessed country on the face of the earth. I salute you, sir, for your vision, and I am proud to give you your nation's highest civilian honor.
That is Sam Walton, and you heard President Bush. That was in Bentonville, and it was in 1992, which is longer ago than it feels. Bentonville wasn't yet the Bentonville we know now. It was still kind of a, no offense, but kind of a sleepy downtown at that point.
Well, it was before XNA, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, because President Bush had to land at Drake Field. Yeah, President Bush had to land at Drake Field. I didn't see this happen, but a reporter friend of mine did. And there weren't, I guess it had to be Air Force One. It took up a lot of the runway at Drake Field in Fayetteville.
Oh, I'll bet it was tricky for the pilots to land there. But it was great timing on the president's part because Sam Walton died less than 3 weeks later. He was 74. And after his death, of course, the tributes poured in, and well, let's listen to one from then-Chancellor Dan Ferriter.
You read about Sam Walton, and you read about a billionaire, you read about a man who pulls out a baseball cap. That's not the Sam Walton that I knew. The Sam Walton I knew was a man that I could call at his office any time of the day or night, and he'd get back to me, who would listen to what we had to say.
And people who associated or were on some sort of business or community dealings with Sam Walton would always say that. You could pick up the phone, you could just call him.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Clinton, who was the presidential candidate at the time, thought so too. And he came for the funeral. He came from the campaign trail, came to the funeral, and he had these comments at the airport.
It's a big loss for our state in ways I think a lot of people don't measure. I just hope people will remember two things about Sam Walton that aren't so publicized. Once, in his later years, he led the Arkansas Business Council to awaken the conscience of the business community of this state to invest in our educational system. Second thing is, he made it without ever leaving Bentonville. He stayed with his roots. He proved that you can be a success in this life and stay with your basic values and your roots. It means a lot to me.
It seems hard to imagine now, but there was some concern about what's going to happen to Walmart. And to another degree, what would happen to Northwest Arkansas if Walmart didn't have the influence that it had built over the previous 15 or 20 years?
That's true. A lot of business experts, well, it was all the buzz in the business world. And KATV at the time had a program called The Business Report with John Barnes. He's a financial analyst. And this is one segment from his. He did a 30-minute program on Sam Walton, and this is a clip from that.
Last week, Arkansans shared in the mourning of the death of Walmart founder Sam Walton. His death has caused some concerns about the future of Walmart, but a look at the chain of events following Mr. Sam's death may ease the minds of some investors. The key, perhaps, is the management team. Mr. Sam molded the team to replace him, so there would be a little change after his death. Today, another Walton is at the helm of the nation's largest retail chain, and nobody expects Rob Walton to emulate Sam. Rob, who's 47, was named chairman of the Walmart board last Monday. By those who know him, he is described as a quiet and unassuming. A lawyer by training, he asks lots of questions and isn't known for giving orders. He's also expected to be supportive of CEO David Glass, Chief Operating Officer David Soderquist, and Chief Financial Officer Paul Carter.
And then later that year, the biography is released.
Yes, he had an autobiography that came out in June, so within a couple of months after he died. It was called Sam Walton, Made in America, and it was co-written by a Fortune magazine author named John Huey, and he had these comments about him.
I think one of the things that set Sam Walton apart as a business leader was that he spent so much time dealing with the people who were on the battle line, dealing with the people who actually met the customer face-to-face. And to Sam Walton, there were two groups of people who were king. First came the customer. Second came his, what he called his associates, who were the people who had to deal with the customer. And he spent a great deal of his time and energy taking care of those people.
Our subject of focus this Monday has been Sam Walton. You can find all of these cuts and so many more by going to the Pryor Center website.
That's right. Just Google Pryor Center and you go to the KATV section. John Huey did kind of sum it up with it, that you, I think you've heard through all this, is he thought the customer was number one, the associates were number two, and here's one quote, if you'll let me do that. He said, there's only one boss, the customer. He can fire anybody in the company if from the chairman down simply by spending his money somewhere else.
And I think Sam Walton lived by that every day.
Yes, he did. He lived Walmart. One other funny story. When the stock market crashed, Black Monday, we asked him about that and how much he had lost, and he said, I don't know, it's just paper.
Yeah, I remember that. Randy Dixon, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.